Taxation builds a habitat already, quite properly, through state welfare provision, but potentially in other less familiar ways. Goldsmith observes that the overwhelming bias in the current tax system is for indiscriminate economic growth, with, among other things, vast tax breaks on fossil fuels. And challenging the objection that tax ought not to be an instrument of change, he insists that taxation is never neutral. Bias is always there, and so we need to decide where we want the bias to be. Whether we are thinking about investment or taxation, the important thing is to keep the focus on our ability to decide. The worst thing that can happen is when we give away to a fatalistic assumption that our choices don't matter. One of the paradoxes in the whole situation, and I'll touch on this again later, is that our current economic ethos both tells us that the resources for material growth are infinite, and thus that we shouldn't bother too much about the limits of living on a small planet, and at the same time paralyzes us when it comes to thinking about actions that might cross the boundaries of what looks possible. It both pretends that we have unlimited possibilities and discourages us from discovering real potential for change. But this is where things get a little more complex and interesting. To decide what sort of change we want, we need a vigorous sense of what a human life well lived looks like. We need to be able to say what kind of human beings we hope to be ourselves and to encourage our children to be. A few minutes ago, I jumped the gun a bit by slipping in a definition of three-dimensional humanity that's centred on family and imagination and mutual sympathy. Let me go back to this for a moment and spell out what I had in mind and also where these assumptions come from. Human beings all begin their lives in a state of dependence. They need to learn how to speak, how to trust, how to negotiate a world that isn't always friendly. They need an environment in which the background is secure enough for them to take the necessary risks of learning, where they know that there are some relationships that don't depend on getting things right, but are just unconditional. The human family is, as a personal, not just a biological unit, is the indispensable foundation for all of this. And a culture, especially a working culture, that consistently undermines the family is going to be one that leaves everyone more vulnerable and thus more fearful and defensive, potentially violent in some circumstances, or turning the violence inwards in depression in other circumstances. In the last couple of years alone, research has proliferated on the long-term damage done by the absence of emotional security in early childhood and the need for a child's personal growth to be anchored in the presence of stable adult relationships. The Children's Society Good Childhood document laid all this out with some force back in February, and there is more material being published this autumn in the same area. An atmosphere of anxious and driven adult lives, a casual attitude to adult relationships, and the ways in which some employers continue to reward family-hostile patterns of working will all continue to create more confused, emotionally vulnerable, or deprived young people. If we're looking for a new criteria for economic decisions, we might start here and ask about the impact of any such decisions on family life and the welfare of the young. I also mentioned people's imaginative lives. We are not only dependent creatures, we are also beings who take in more than we can easily process from the world around. We know more than we realise, and that helps us to become self-questioning persons who are always aware that things could be different. We learn this as children through fantasy and play. We keep it alive as adults through all sorts of unproductive activity, from sport to poetry to cookery, or dancing, or mathematical physics. It is the extra things that make us human. Simply meeting what we think are our material needs, making a living, is not uniquely human. Just a more complicated version of ants in the anthill. One of the greatest legacies of the British Labour movement has been a real commitment to this, to the enlarging of minds and feelings. Anyone who's been able to see that wonderful play The Pitman Painters will know what I mean. So the question is, how far economic decisions help or hinder a world in which that space for thinking things might be different is kept open?